This is Dave Gloetz. I'm here with Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you very much, sir.
Today we're talking about Ben's column titled The $10.5 Million Mascot that appeared in the Reader on February 26th, 2009. This article talks about your initial look through the Chicago's Olympic bid, mm-hmm. which is a document that it submitted to the International Olympic Committee just a week or two ago, and which the city simultaneously made available to the public online, where you got it, of course, right?
Yes.
It's about 300 pages. How long did it take for you to go through it?
Well, it took a long time to go through it, not because there's a lot of information there, but because the thing is so thick and fat and filled with all these pictures that it took my computer a long time to process it. Oh my God, I was up until all hours of the night waiting for the computer just to go from one page to the next. I think it was their way of torturing me. In fact, I think they designed it. They go, how can we really drive Ben crazy? I know.
How much time did it take for you to read it, do you think?
I could have read that sucker in 15 minutes. I mean, there was really nothing there.
So you said it's relatively content-free?
It's content-free. Yeah. It's free of any substance. They obviously didn't take seriously the challenge of trying to win people over with a well-reasoned, logical argument. It's largely a slick public relations creation. The one good thing in it is that it lists all the venues for where the different games are going to be played or different competitions are going to occur. But then again, you know, that's all subject to change. Let's say if the IOC is really serious about picking Chicago, but they think that one venue is just too close to another or not suitably located to transportation, I'm sure they would make adjustments. That would be part of the haggling process. So I just view it as a proposal, actually. It's not written in stone.
Well, speaking of venues, let's talk about venues. In your article, you talk about building Olympic venues such as the field hockey arena and the tennis areas.
Right.
The city says that they would not start building such areas until a year before the Olympics.
Yeah.
And whereas you say, quote, the city will be under immense international pressure to build these venues as soon as they win the bid, end quote. Why would they be?
If the IOC gives Chicago the games, the clock on preparing the city for those games immediately starts ticking. Let's say that's, I believe, in October 2009, the IOC makes its decision. So the city of Chicago has 7 years to undertake this immense construction project. Just think about it. Think how long it takes the city to do anything. I mean, O'Hare is, they're still, I don't know what they're doing at O'Hare. You know, they're moving stuff around. The Lakefront Revetment Project, which was a particular obsession of mine, which I've sort of calmed down from, was a project that I think took at least 5 years on the north side alone. And then that didn't even finish off the south side. So they're going to be under a tough deadline. They have to raise a lot of money. They have to get their contractors in line. They have to get their designs set up. I wouldn't be surprised if we get the games that the fences go up very soon thereafter. It's generally a practice in Chicago. For instance, when you have an old building that the owner wants to tear down, even before the owner has received city approval to tear his building down, it's like a practice where they'll put up, you know, the scaffolding and the protective covering for pedestrians, almost as their way of saying, this is coming down, you can't beat us. So I wouldn't be surprised if shortly after we win the bid, if we do win the bid, fences go up and key parts of the park. It's sort of the city's way of saying, this is coming, get used to it.
Let's turn to a theory by a no Olympics activist by the name of Chris Shaw. He's a guy from Vancouver, BC, and he's the author of a book called Five Ring Circus, Myths and Realities of the Olympic Games. Chris was in Chicago last month to urge citizens to oppose Chicago's Olympics bid, and I went to a meeting that he spoke at, and let's listen to something that he said as far as why he thinks cities go after Olympics.
At a local level, it's always driven by real estate developers because they have projects that they wanted to do for a long time that they could not sell to the taxpayer because they were stupid, it didn't make sense financially, and they want you to fund it for them.
What do you think of that theory?
I think there's a lot of truth to that. I would just say that the city's drive for the Olympics is similar to President Bush's drive to launch a war against Iraq. I don't think there was one reason alone. I think there were many different reasons, some more justifiable than others. I absolutely believe that Mayor Daley and his planners think it's somehow or other in the city's best interest to heat up the housing market on the near south side and gentrify the area. There's no doubt in my mind that that real estate is a part of that, and that, yes, what they do, it's very tricky, just the way Shaw describes, by dressing up a project like the Olympics in the veneer of being great for all of Chicago, they wind up funding programs that the public might not want to fund without the Olympic veneer. The classic case being the one I've been writing about and we've been talking about, and that is the Olympic Village. I just can't believe that of all the needs that we have in Chicago at the top of the list, and that's where it's been put, we have to spend $86 million building a condominium development on the near south side. So I think without the Olympics, there would be no Olympic Village.
Let's talk about the Olympic Village for a second. In your story, you say, quote, the city still hasn't determined who will pay the $1 billion it will cost to actually build the village, end quote. And we're talking about a 7,500-unit complex where the Olympic athletes will live when they're here for the Olympics. And then if all goes as planned, subsequently the village would convert to housing. And you wrote about this in July, and we talked about it. So on the one hand, developers might not want to invest in that kind of project because they're not going to be able to get housing to sell until after 2016. But on the other hand, as you state in your July story, the city might make it worth developers' while.
Oh, I think somebody will come forward. If we get the games, I think somebody will come forward. First of all, you have to build it if we get the games. And that's my point. That gets back to the early point. Why do I think that it's going to start long before 2015, because you've got to start that construction right now. What will end up happening, I predict, is that the city will subsidize huge amounts of that project, but they'll do it in a way so that they can save face and claim that they're not really subsidizing the project. That's what they do all the time with their cockamamie explanations.
So give us as an example of how they would do that.
Well, you could do that by coming up with some kind of exchange of the land where you write down the value of the land so the developer gets it for virtually nothing, and then you pretend as though you're not subsidizing the deal. You could do it by covering what they call infrastructure costs for the developing it, but including so many things in the infrastructure costs that it undercuts the budget that the developer has. You might say that building a parking garage that he needs is infrastructure cost. You might say building a swimming pool is infrastructure cost. You know, you just take parts of the project and you fund it with public dollars, and then you claim that that's an infrastructure cost. And so then you get your publicist to put out press releases, statements saying, well, we're not really spending X amount of money. That's just infrastructure costs. And who but a few geeks reads the fine print? So I think the public is really got to be smarter than it is, which, of course, I think there's a greater chance of us getting the Olympics than that. They have to be smarter and realize that there's no way this project in these times with these time constraints can possibly be built without huge public subsidies. We've already started subsidizing it. Just because the mayor and his Olympic planners say we're not doesn't mean that the money hasn't already been allocated. It has.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. There's some things that we've identified that the public can watch out for as this unfolds.
Yes.
Ben Jarofsky, the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Dave.
This is Dave Gloetz. We've been speaking about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.